Acts chapter 1, and if I'm not mistaken, we have gone through the part about, we discussed the idea that the Lord says in verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, "You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." We discussed that that will take place in its fulfillment at the second coming of Jesus Christ. We trace that back to Matthew 25 when the Lord returns and before Him is gathered all nations. And by the way, that word witnesses there in verse 8, the Greek word for that is martyrs. Just thought I'd tell you that. Martyrs. You see, in Matthew 10, He told them that they would have to lose their life for His sake. So these witnesses are martyrs, and they would have to die. But the uttermost part of the earth, part of that commission, will not be carried out until the Lord returns. So the Lord ascends up. They watch a cloud behold Him out of their sight. They replace Judas with a man named Matthias, and he is numbered with the 11 apostles in verse 26. So that the replacement is legitimate. There, again, there are those that teach it's not, in order to make Paul the 12th apostle. But Matthias is numbered with the 11. That's true in Acts 2:14, with Peter standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. And it's true in Acts chapter 6, verse 2. "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them." Three places in your Bible where Matthias is considered one of the 12 and Paul has not yet seen the truth. Saul of Tarsus has not yet met the Lord on the road to Damascus. So I know that there's 12 disciples when the day of Pentecost comes. Now notice chapter 2, verse 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." And the "they" would refer back to verse 26. He was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now there could be others there, but we know there's 12 in one accord in one place. Verse 2. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them." And notice, it's the sound that filled the house, not wind. And it's cloven tongues that appear unto them, not fire. The sound was like a rushing, or as a rushing mighty wind, and the tongues were like as a fire. And you got a lot of people today that want to think that the symbol of the Holy Ghost is a flame of fire. Now, if anything, it should be a tongue. And for that matter, why does the Holy Ghost need a symbol at all? This is just one incident among many, many miracles which occurred by the power of the Holy Ghost. But the verse says they were filled with it in verse 4. "They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." That is the fulfillment of the verse in chapter 1, verse 5. "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And we discussed the differences in the baptisms there. If I recall correctly, we talked about this was Jesus Christ baptizing them with the Holy Ghost, not with fire. John, in the book of Matthew, John said, I'm not the Messiah, in effect, I'm paraphrasing. He said, "There's one who cometh after me. I'm not worthy to unloose his shoes. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And there are those in charismatic, for example, circles that claim that both were fulfilled here because they see the word fire. No, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is going on here. Jesus Christ doing the baptizing, and the Holy Ghost is the medium, if you will. In other words, they're baptized with the Holy Ghost. They're not baptized with fire here. The baptism of fire